speaking in tongues, y'all don't worry about me, okay? I'll tell you what, the Lord is so good. World falling apart, but yeah, he's so faithful. Amen. We'll go ahead and move and turn into the scriptures now. Appreciate the help with the music and songs and so forth. Get situated up here. See if that works okay. Sometimes when you get two microphones going at the same time up here, it's a little bit much and starts ringing a little bit, but I mean, he loves you. We're going to go ahead and be part two of what did John see tonight. Look forward to what the Lord has for us. So we'll go ahead and open our Bibles, Revelation chapter 1. We'll begin reading verse 10. It's good to have each one of you here tonight. Appreciate the prayers. And even before my wife and I leave and travel, it's about a 10-hour drive. And we're going to miss being here for Sunday service, but Brother Jonathan Goff will be here. He's going to take care of everything. And I know it'll be a blessing to you. And I promised him we'd try to get him back sometime when I can be here and we can have more than one service. So you know, it's been a while since we had a Saturday night and Sunday morning service. But I didn't attempt it this time because, usually we have people that help stay at our house and stuff for them. So I didn't want to try and have two services and miss out on both of them. So, but anyway. You'll be in prayer for that, and we just thank you for praying for us, and that the Lord would use me to speak to that group of people up there and around the Jeffersonville area, and that I know it's a wedding, but he can use a wedding to speak. Amen. Yeah. Pray that if there's any sinners there, anyone there that needs a touch from the Lord, that they would hear something that would be helpful. Just turn it down just a little bit. What did John see? Part 2, Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and to Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and to Sardis, and to Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and death. Write thee the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou seest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord, we want to thank you for this opportunity. We want to thank you for your presence being here. And thank you for your word and all that you do for us, Lord. We can speak of the things that you've done in our lives and from now on and not be able to cover it all. And so we just want you to come and find liberty here tonight in the hearts of your people in this service to speak. And Lord, just bring clarity and touch every life, Lord, as you feed your sheep with the word and help them to understand their position. We ask God that you just have your way and that we be received and that you would anoint us as speaker and as hearer and anoint our hearts to receive. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Amen. You know, Pentecost sometimes, back in Pentecost, they'd have really, really long song services, long worship service, and I can see how that you do that when you have a really nice song service of worship. But we know that the word is the most important part.
That's right.
the songs just kind of prepare our hearts. So I'm going to continue on, and we will rehearse some of the things we've already shared. Some of you have heard it many, many times, but we will do that and trust that the Lord will just take us a little bit further. So we talked the other day about how it's very common knowledge to us in the message that John, the Apostle John, he was the youngest one, and he was a type of the bride. We read the quote where Brother Branham said, one man in a vision can represent the entire body of Christ, the entire group of believers covered. And so and we talked about how that you know, John being the youngest one, and he was the one that leaned on the Lord's bosom, and the scripture said the one whom the Lord loved. Well, you know, the Lord loved all of them. But there's a reason why scripture was saying that about John. And so there at the end, whenever the Lord was saying, Peter, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And Peter got kind of grieved at that and turned and pointed to John and said, well, what do you want him to do? You're telling me, you know, like you're putting all this burden on me to feed your sheep, but what are you going to have him do? You're going to give all that to me to do? And Jesus said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what's that to you? You follow me. And the scripture said, there went out a saying, now it was disciples that were there, right? But there went out a saying when they heard that John would not see death. And the scripture said, how be it? And he didn't say that. But you, again, this is in the scriptures for a reason, for us to take notice to this, that John being the youngest one, and John is the only one that they couldn't martyr. They tried to martyr him and couldn't. He's the only one that died a natural death. The rest of them were martyred. And so John was put on the island of Patmos because they couldn't kill him. They put him out there. And while he was there for a space of 2 years, he got the visions that he received to write the book of Revelation. And so the interesting thing was there, and we read here in the book of Revelation, he said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And Brother Ram comes along and said that a lot of people think that John meant that he was in the spirit on Sunday. But he said, that's not it. He said he was in the spirit on the day of the Lord, which is at the end time after man has had his way and done all his nonsense, and then God says, now I'm going to come and have my way, and I'm going to finish this thing up. And that's the day of the Lord. And if you go through the Old Testament, you'll see time and time again, it talks about the day of the Lord and who shall be able to abide it. Yep. Who will be able to stand in that day. And God's got a people that will stand in that day because of what he does in their life. And so John was carried to the day of the Lord and was seeing these things that the book of Revelation recorded, as he was told here, write these things which have been and which are and which shall be, write them in a book. And so John is writing all this, not from the standpoint of when he was back there 2,000 years ago, but John wrote this book from in our day, looking at it from our day. And so John representing not just the end time bride, representing the bride through all the ages, but especially the end time bride, he's standing here at the end time, and he sees all of these things. And there's a sequence in the way these things unfold in the scriptures there, and there are parenthetical places in the scriptures where it kind of like goes here, and then it comes back, and it goes somewhere else and comes back. But it's all laying in there. And what I want you to see is that we are John. Right? Okay, we're seeing what John saw. And so that's why I'm calling this, what did John see? Because you're seeing in our day, in reality, in Revelation, the things that John was carried over here and saw in spirit and wrote about. But we're seeing them in their revealed form. So John wrote them in a book for this record. And then you and I could come along and we can look in this book and we can look out here and see God revealing the very things and know right where we are in history. And so he was carried to our day and sent down in our day in the end time. And I have to compare this to the tabernacle in the wilderness because it's you can't really talk about it without it. And so just imagine yourself, and I hope you know what the tabernacle, how it's all laid out in the wilderness, that you had an outer court where they did the sacrifices and they had the brazen altar. They had a brass laver where they would wash, and that was an outer court. And but once you come in past the laver and where you were washed, you could come into what they call the holy place. And then after the holy place was the holiest of all, which is where the Shekinah glory was, where the presence of God was. And if you try to picture this church, the outside being that outer court, and when you come in the house of God, right there where you're sitting was the holy place. And behind the veil is where the presence of God was. That's why the churches are this way, because the word of God speaks from behind the veil. He speaks from the pulpit, and it's a higher realm than what it is. And so you find out that as you would come through that outer court, you were coming through the law, because that's where judgment was, and that's what brass represents. You come through the law, but then you come to the laver where you're washed, which is the washing of the water by the word, which was Christ. And after you come through that, then you come into the holy place. And as you would come through the door there, on this side of the room would be seven candlesticks. And on this side over here would be the table of showbread, where they put bread. Right. And just right here before the final veil would be the altar of incense. And then, of course, behind the veil was the Ark of the Covenant. And so in your mind, think about this. As you travel through this tabernacle, and how many's been to the up here to Eureka Springs where they have the tabernacle? How many's been up there and went through it? And I'm assuming they're still open, but it's good. You can go up there and see it. But you have to realize that as you were passing through this, the tabernacle and all these different places, it's like you're passing through time. Because the law of Moses was Old Testament, right? And then Christ came, and then it opened up to the seven church ages, which is seven candlesticks. We just read it. And so when John was carried up to the day of the Lord, John was carried all the way up to what I would refer to being right here, just right after the seven ages. So you'd have Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. You'd have all those in that order. And so the last one right here would be Laodicea. And the reason why we can say that is because the scripture said that John was in the spirit on the day of the Lord, and he heard behind him, and he turned around, so that he would be right here, and he would turn around and look back that way. Right. And what he saw was those seven candlesticks when he turned around and looked back. So you can see that he wrote this book from a standpoint of looking at it from our day. Right. Looking at it, and of course it's unfolding still yet while we're here through this message. And so he turned around and he looks and he sees the seven golden candlesticks. And so I want you to imagine in your mind that here we are in this day, and God's going to do the same thing with us that he did with John. And that's exactly what he has done, because through an end time ministry, God sent a prophet. He was well established to be a prophet, and then he came to a message. He came to his message. And in that unfolding of that message, though, one of the first things he did was he preached to us the seven church ages.
Right. Yeah.
And so if you can imagine, we're seeing what John saw. So John was shown these things by an angel. We're shown these things by an angel.
Right, right.
Right? And so he was carried to the end, to right after at the Laodicean age, turns around, and he looks back into history, which is what Brother Branham did. He took us back into history and showed us what those seven ages were.
Right.
So John turned around and looked back in history, and he could see seven candlesticks, which was seven church ages.
Yeah.
And he saw it in symbol form, but we get to see what it means.
Yeah.
Right? So we're from the end time. John turns around and he sees that. And what I want to show you is that it's so important before you can go forward, you got to know about your past.
Yeah.
Before you can go forward in God, your past has to be dealt with.
Yeah.
You have to understand what your past was and how it's dealt with or whatever. And you have to see that Christ has been placed on your past and before you can go forward. Right?
Yeah.
You have to repent of your sins before you can go forward.
Right.
But once, and you hear us say this quite often, that once you know where you come from, you know why you're here, and you know where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
If you know who your daddy is, you know who you are, and you know what your offspring is going to be, and you know where your future is. It's all a genetic lifeline, a seed line.
Yeah. Right.
And so before John could come all the way in behind the veil and see the things that would be behind the veil, he had to turn around first and see and know what the past was.
Yeah.
So that's why in this end time, John was brought to this end time, and we were here at the end time, that we had to turn around, and the prophet had to show us about these seven church ages so that we can understand where we're at now by what led us to where we are now. And then once we know where we are now we can go forward. Yeah. Right? I should be down there and saying that, you know. And so I'm not trying to be real demonstrative or whatever, but John was right here, and he turns around and he sees seven candlesticks, seven churches, history. The prophet turned us around and said, let me preach the seven church ages. Yep. So he tells us and he shows us historically all of the things that took place of all those ages and the dark ages and the martyrs and all. And he showed us who those seven messengers would be. Yep. And so before we could go on into the presence of God at the coming of the Lord, first you have to deal with the past, and he has to show you where we are. How we got to where we are, and then once that's settled, then he can turn around and open the seals and take us on further.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is exactly what happened in our day. So you got to deal with the past, and that's what God was doing. God has concepts of things like that, and you have to go with those.
Right.
So John turns around and he sees the seven church ages, but he sees one like unto the Son of Man. We read it there just a little while ago. And Brother Ram tells us that that's the bride. Yes. You wouldn't think that yourself, but he describes it and he shows it. The girt about the path with a golden girdle and all the way to the foot and so forth. And Brother Ram describes it. And so I have a quote here in just a minute. I'll read about this. And so we turn around, and what John is shown, he turns around and he looks and he's able to see the bride through all the ages. And what he sees is that she has been clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And it says, one like unto. Didn't say it was the Son of Man, but one like unto. And here's what Brother Branham says about it. In the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. He said, what? One like him. Who was this? His bride.
Right.
One like him. Watch how it was. Clothed with a garment down to the foot, the holiness of Jesus Christ covering her, has washed us from our sins in his own blood, all right, and girt about the paps, not a man, a woman. Girt about the paps, not a man, a woman, but a woman, with a golden girdle. The gospel that held the power and glory of God over the body of Christ. And so what John was able to turn around and see, and I guess maybe it'd be better to explain it from our standpoint, here we are at the end time, and when we turn around and we look at history and we see all the things, the tragic things that happened, that Satan had a millennium, a thousand years of martyring people, like Brother Ram talked about. They had 68 million people that the Catholic Church martyred and kept record of it, not to mention the ones that they did and didn't keep record of. Right? And we would look at that and just like the one fellow said, what kind of God would sit and watch all these people be fed to lions and all that? And Brother Ram said, see, he didn't understand that seed back there in that early church had to be buried and go into the ground and die, because if it doesn't die, it'll abide alone. But it has to die and rot so the life can come forth. So there had to be a dark ages, and then the life could come up in Luther and Wesley and bring forth an end time crop like the original. And so we would look back at that and say, how could that be? How could that be? And so the whole purpose of the revelation of the seven church ages is for us to turn around, see those ages, and see that Christ was with her through every bit of it. That she was covered with his righteousness, his power that covered her and kept her, even though she went through all of those things. You can look back and see that. And it's important. In order for us to go forward in the revelation of the seven seals, we have to understand and look back and know that Christ was through all of that, and those people are just as much saved as we are.
Right, yeah.
Right? You just have to see that and know that God was with them in all those ages. And so that's what he shows there. And so John turns around and he sees that, it's been a long time since I said this, but there are seven church ages and seven messengers, a messenger to each age. And if that seven candlesticks were standing here, would be seven churches. The one that would be closest to me would be Laodicea. Yeah. And the messenger that I would be able to look upon and see the most clarity would be the messenger to that age that's closest to me.
Sure.
That's why we can look at William Branham and his ministry and see it in such clarity, so much more than what Paul would, who would have been back there.
Right?
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So, you know, people say you're Branhamites. But it's just that it's so near to us. It's this age, and that's what's here close by. And we can look back, and we can see Apostle Paul, and we can see all the other messengers. But this is the one that's so clear to us because it's right here next to us. And we can look, and we can see that what Brother Branham preached right here at the end time was the same thing that God gave to Paul. It's just a further form of it. That Paul was the alpha part of the ministry, and Brother Branham comes along, and God expressed Omega through him, but Omega is the finishing up of what the Alpha was, yeah. Right? And so you can look and know that when they had these seven candlesticks in here, you couldn't bring strange fire in and light that. It'd be light from one to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. And that's why Brother Branham said, I have preached the same thing Paul did, because it can't be strange fire.
That's right.
It has to be the same message that God gave Paul all the way through the ages. And here it is still alive today. And that's why Brother Branham had those visions. God wants us to see all this, to say, you know what, I'm standing right here and I'm looking back at all this, and I can see that this prophet is teaching and preaching the same thing Paul did. I see that.
Yeah.
And you should see that in scriptures. And that way, when Brother Branham was past the curtain of time, or wherever that place was, and they were all coming and hugging him and saying, our precious brother, and he said, I want to see Jesus. And they said, well, you can't right now. You know, he's a little higher. But when he comes, he'll come to you because you are a leader, and he'll judge you first.
Right.
And if you're accepted, which you will be,
yeah.
He said that, which you will be, then the believers underneath you will be accepted too. Mm-hmm. Right? And so I said, you can't see him right now, but this is what's going to happen. When he comes, he'll come to you first and judge you, and then if you're accepted, the rest will be accepted. And Brother Branham said, well, will Paul have to come that way? Will the guy back there, will he come the same way?
Right.
Yes, he'll come the same way. And then Brother Branham said, well, now keep in mind, he's in a dimension that he said that love and sublime and all that can't even describe it. Mm-hmm. No words could describe this dimension. And where there's no sin, no sickness, no pains, no sorrow. It was just beyond perfection.
Right.
And in that realm, when he said, well, if Paul makes it in, I'll make it in, because I've not deviated one bit from what Paul taught. And all of us over there in that realm shouted with one accord and said, we're resting on that.
That's right.
Resting on the fact that we can stand right here at this end time, see that messenger that's so clear to us, look back and see that, yes, the fire that Paul had would come down through the ages, and this is the same fire. It's not a strange fire.
That's right.
Because if you remember back in the scriptures when Aaron's sons brought in strange fire, guess what happened? Mm-hmm. They died from it.
That's right.
So you got people in this end time who want to claim end time, but they want to bring in something that's not message. They're bringing in a strange fire, and look at the people who die spiritually because of it.
That's right.
We have to stay with the fire that started with Paul, that came all the way down through the prophet,
yeah.
Right? And it's so clear to us because it's so, here we are. And so God wants us to see these things and look back in history and see there was seven church ages, that there were seven messengers, and that they were clothed with the holiness and righteousness of God, that what John looked back and saw, he saw a bride that was like Christ.
That's right, yeah.
And so if you can look and say, well, huh, the Lord did exactly what he said he was going to do. Mm-hmm. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you. Mm-hmm. No matter what comes, they're going to try to kill you and put you to death, but don't worry about it. And we can look back and say, well, he did. All through those ages, they're wrapped, just totally wrapped up in his holiness.
Yes.
And he covered them all through the ages. And they can say, well, you know what? If the gospel plan that went from back there, coming right all the way up to here to where I'm at, if that was so successful, then I got confidence it'll take me on.
Amen.
And that's what God's doing. By this word, creating a confidence in the people.
That's right.
To understand that he's going to do with us exactly what he said he's going to do.
Amen.
And we believe that. We know that to be the truth. And so this is the thing that's happening in our day. And God wants us to understand and be able to see these things and know that these things are like this. And so she's clothed with his holiness. And so, you know, the attribute, I've said this many times, but you read there in the book of Revelation for the Laodicean age, and he says unto the church of Laodicea, right? He that is the faithful and true witness in the beginning of the creation of God. I'm saying that the attribute that he's going to show in this end time, through this end time ministry, he's going to show and prove that he's the Amen, that he's the faithful, and he's a true witness. Well, if he's a true witness, he has to be witnessing to something, right? If he's faithful, he has to be faithful to something. He's faithful to the word and to the promise that he said it would be. And he's going to show that, hey, regardless of all the things that's happened through the ages and all that, he's the Amen.
Yeah.
He's the final word, not somebody else. Mm-hmm. And so when he comes on in this day, this end time ministry, he's going to establish those attributes for sure, all the rest of them too, but definitely that we're going to see, you know what? He is faithful. He did exactly what he said he was going to do through those ages. And here he is now proving here present that he's going to continue on and do the rest of it too.
Yeah.
So he that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of the Lord.
Amen.
He that started back there in the holy place, he's going to bring it all the way to the holiest of holies. Amen.
That's right.
And so you can see that this is all unfolding. So we could look back here and see that those saints in the Old Testament or in the church ages were not alone.
Right.
And we need to see that and understand that. The scripture said that when John turned and he saw these things, and remember, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the prophet told us, we've read it a lot lately, that the new birth is the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you.
That's right.
Amen.
Right? And this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. We wouldn't expect people in other ages to know this because God wasn't revealing, but now he's revealing it.
Yeah.
So what's the new birth for us is the quickening of this word, this revelation of the end time Jesus in full form being revealed in a bride.
Yeah.
That's our new birth. That's our rapturing ticket.
Yeah.
Is that revelation. And so, but the scripture said that when John turned and he looked back and he saw this, then he fell dead. Now remember, John types the end time bride,
right.
Types the church. And so we all, I have no problem admitting this, that before I came and understood there was a message, that to me the church world wasn't going anywhere.
Yep.
Pentecost had done fizzled out. All they had was just a bunch of sensations, a bunch of stuff, but nothing was ever going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so my point is that to me, the church had died.
Yeah.
The church was dying, you know. And when John turns around and he sees this revelation, he fell as a dead man.
Yeah.
He couldn't even comprehend even this revelation of Jesus Christ, just a portion of it from the past. He had he hadn't even been shown the rest of it.
Right.
All he was shown, he turned around and he saw Jesus Christ in the churches and in the bride clothed, and that was just too much for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he fell as a dead man. And so that's what I want to really push is that the churches in this day have died.
Right. Yeah.
Because the coming of the Lord, the revelation of Jesus Christ is coming forth, and they can't handle it. And we were all there.
Yeah.
We were all there. But the scripture said that when John fell as a dead man, that the Lord touched him with his right hand. And you have to look at this. You say it's one likened to the Son of Man, and it's like, well, it is Jesus, but it's a bride. It's Jesus, but it's a bride.
Mm-hmm.
So he reaches over and he touches John with his right hand. And in that right hand is those seven stars, which are the seven messengers.
Right.
So what would be the solution to make a church come alive at the end time when we've rejected everything God done and Christ is on the outside trying to get back in? What would be the solution to make that church come alive again? And the answer is for them to be touched with the revelation of those seven messengers, right here, for God to touch them. And if you can receive that, you can be taken out of that dead condition, denominational condition, into a resurrection, as we said the other day. What a resurrection that was. And Brother Bram said, well, what a resurrection this is, resurrecting out of dark denominationalism.
Right.
And the answer was, is for Christ to touch us with that right hand. And remember, that right hand is the hand of authority,
right?
The hand of blessing, right?
That's right.
And the hand of power. So when the Lord Jesus said, I see that the church is dead, well, I'm going to use my strength. I'm going to use the strength of my right hand, the thing that I want to bless them with, the thing that I want to solve their situation with, is my right hand. And the scripture said in that right hand was those seven messengers.
Yes.
Saints, we've got to listen to what was said to those angels, and especially this last one. We've got to hear these things, because it's bringing us this message to get us out of here. And God is showing us very clearly that he's a faithful and true witness, because he's here showing us that he's done those things, and now here to back up everything that he told us he was going to do. In our day, he's here proving it.
Yeah.
Amen. And so he touched him with his right hand, with his power of hand of blessing and his support. And it was those seven stars, seven messengers in that right hand. The messengers, the same messengers that preached in those seven ages, is the very ones that he would touch. He didn't touch him with messengers from the Old Testament.
Right.
He touched him with messengers pertinent to the church. The very voice of God through those seven messengers throughout the ages was the solution and the answer anyway. And there's only seven of them, because there's only seven ages. And those seven ages has fizzled out, and now the church is sitting here dead, and the Lord does everything right. So to hear and follow those messengers throughout those ages would have been fine. But a church that didn't, but the solution is still those seven messengers. And God turns right around and says, I'm paraphrasing, but I sent these men to you through the ages, and they were the answer, but you didn't receive it. And I'm showing and proving to you right now, it's still those seven messengers, that revelation. And so John touches the church. In other words, the prophet preaches the seven church ages, reveals to us that there's seven messengers, who they were, what their message was. And just to read the church age book changes you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Makes a big difference. And prepares you for what comes in the opening of the seven seals. That church age book, I would always give it to someone, read that first before I'd ever give them the seals.
Yeah.
Because it lays a foundation. Why? It turns you back and shows you what's been. The things which were, and now the things which are, and the things which be hereafter.
Right.
So John was given a message to show, hey, here's some history, here's what's going on right now while the prophet is on the earth, and here's what's going to be here shortly after.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's what John was given. And so you and I, in this day, as this prophet come on the scene, he has to do the same thing, because we're John. So he has to take us and show us back in history, show us some things that were going on right then, and tell us about some things that were going to shortly come to pass.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what's happening. This is why I'm calling this, what did John see? Because I want you to say, I know what John saw, because I'm seeing it.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing in a revealed form. And these things are laying a foundation and doing something in us that's changing us,
mm-hmm.
getting us ready for everything that is to come. Yeah. But you can't be ready for the things to come if you don't take what was given in the past. So the Lord just turned around and said, I'm going to reestablish. I'm going to bring a restoration of the very thing I sent. I'm going to bring it, what's lost. And I want to show you, and the church has to be confronted with those seven messengers and realize what they were. And we have. Before this message, I had no idea that there were seven ages. I had no idea there were seven messengers. I'd read it, but it didn't speak. But now it does, because it's laying right there. So you can see what God is doing. And so if John represented the entire church, not just the end time, but all of that, and John falls dead, then in John is Ephesus, the Ephesian people. In John is all the other ages. And so when the Lord would touch John, the one that would speak to the saints of Ephesus would be the messenger that they had in their day.
Right.
This is why Brother Branham, whenever he was there, and those angels came to him, and he said there was one angel that was more notable to him, meant more to him than any of the rest. And that angel flew right to Brother Branham.
Right?
Because Brother Branham was, he was that angel in physical form, right? But what I'm showing you is that each of those ages, you know, they had their messenger. And those messengers, those people are judged after the messenger of their age, like Paul in his age, his people. And so that right hand, so when he touched it, he touched, and all of those messengers touched the part and brought a resurrection. And you have to realize that this that's going on now, being the day of the Lord, this is not just something happening physically here. This is happening in all the realms.
Sure.
And we know that. Because later on, when we see in the scriptures where he said, who's worthy to open the book? And the scripture said, you know, this cry goes forth, who's worthy? And it said, well, there's nobody worthy in heaven. So that voice must have went to heaven and said, who's worthy? Nobody was worthy in earth. Nobody's worthy beneath the earth. So that cry, who is worthy, went into all those realms to call for somebody to come. So these things are unfolding, and it's going back and dealing with saints who have already gone on, saints who are here present, the ones that would come shortly hereafter in hearing the message. These are all, this is all going on, a message that's reaching out into all these realms because the end is here.
Right.
You know, we think the end is here like, oh, okay, it's going to be tomorrow. No, the end is here, and it's an unfolding of many years. Like the coming of the Lord in his day was many years. Took many, many years, 30 some odd years for him to come. Actually, throughout the entire Bible, he's been coming. Right? So, each age responded to their messenger when he touched him with his right hand. The great thing about us is, in this day, that we see all this stuff while it's still happening. All the other ages came and went. But we're seeing this revelation while it's still unfolding. And there's a portion of that that's unfolding that can't be mimicked, can't be spoken, can't be, which is third pool. And it's the thing that God will do in us that can't be mimicked. Satan can't touch it. But it's an interesting thing that all these things are going on in our day, and we get to see it while it's happening. That's one of the great mysteries of it. How that God could use a man and could speak to all those ages. That God could use a man and his voice could speak and go out into those realms, and all of those saints could, as it were, a resurrection type coming. You know, we talked about the other day that Brother Ram said Jesus came, right? He did all these three things in his coming, was a shout, a voice, and a trumpet. And all of those happened in his coming. And a shout was a message. So he's coming, and there's a message coming for him. He's coming. There's a voice of resurrection, and he's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Then there's a trump of God, and he's coming.
Yeah.
So it's years. But he's coming, and all these things are happening as he's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And so a man could stand here, and in the breach message where Brother Branham is standing, and he says, you know, here they are, and the most pathetic thing, Christ on the outside, and now there's a cry come forth, who is worthy? And Brother Branham said, oh my, maybe I'm just feeling this way, but let him come forth. And what you understand was Brother Branham was that one who cried that cry, let him come forth, because he had finished the church ages and was fixing to open the seals. The Lord was going to open those things through him. But before they could be opened, the Lamb has to come take the book.
Yeah.
And before the Lamb could come take the book, there had to be a cry go forth. Who's worthy? And you have a vindicated prophet on the earth that these things are acting out through. And he says, oh my, maybe I'm just feeling this way, but let him come forth. And brother, sister, he came forth right then, because he went right from that night and went right on in to bringing the seals each day. And so that God could have a man that could stand here and could speak and go out into all those realms, and God could use this message being voiced through a man to bring a gathering. You know, in Ephesians it talks about how that in the fullness of the dispensations of time, he would gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and in earth.
Right.
Go read it. Ephesians 1. In the fullness of dispensations of time. You know what a dispenser is? A soap dispenser? First church age. Second church age. Yeah. Dispensing out time.
Right.
And when he's full and finished dispensing out time, seven ages, when that time comes, right, then he's going to gather together everyone that's in Christ Jesus.
Right.
Where's he going to gather them to? How's he going to gather them? With a shout, voice, and trumpet.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So he's finished seven ages, and now he's going to gather together, and guess what? Some of them are in heaven,
right,
and he's going to gather them. And some of them are in earth, and he's going to gather them.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it said that the dead in Christ arise, and then we'll be caught up with them.
Yeah.
Because those that have gone on and died in Christ, and in that realm, we're going to meet with them. So there's a gathering of those that are in heaven and those that are in earth after the dispensation of the fullness of times. And what did the angel stand there and said? Time shall be no more.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
It's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Quit looking down the road for something else. Catch this word and let it move you on down the line. Because this is what's going on. The clarity of it. That God is showing is because we realize something's happening. And so God could use a man, and that man, through that man's voice, he could speak into the realm and speak to Paul's people. Speak to Irenaeus' people. Speak to Luther and Martin, Wesley, and speak to his own people. And God used that man to do it. All God needs, remember how Brother Ben said, all God needs is one man totally surrendered. That's all he needs. And he had one. And has brought these things to pass. And so, when he said, let him come forth, he came forth. And we know in that sermon, Brother Bram said, when that lamb came and took the book, he said he produced a breach. There ain't nobody else out there ever talk about nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
But this prophet said, you know what? There was a breach that needed to be made.
Yeah.
And what you understand, you know, when the levee breaks, there's a breach.
Yeah.
Right? And so you understand that if we're passing through the tabernacle, there's only a certain person that can come behind this holy veil. Holiest of holies. And if you're coming through the tabernacle, you're coming forward in time. And when you get all the way down here at the end time, right? You're at the end time. And so, but before you could go behind the veil, you have to be high priest. He's the one that went behind there. Not all these priests that could come in out here, they couldn't do that. They could come in if they were ordained to come into that. In other words, they could come into a gospel message in the New Testament or whatever. But it takes a special ordination to be able to leave seven church ages and come behind the veil into the presence of God. Which is what's the opening of the seals does. Realize that's still in time. But when you come all the way up here, it's not in time anymore. It's eternity. Right? And so these are the things that God has done in our day. And so you realize that something has to happen to the church in order for them to be able to come all the way up here and be behind the veil. My phone is ringing. I had the volume all the way down, but my phone likes to turn it back on. I turned it down just a minute ago before service, and it, for some reason, it puts it back up to the lowest setting. I don't know why. But anyway, it's not my fault. I remember when Brother Hart, remember his phone going off in service, you know, that was so funny. But something has to happen to get us to the condition where we can come into the presence of God. And it has to be more than just a church age teaching. It has to be more than just the revelation of Jesus Christ in the midst of their church. It has to be more than just seeing Brother Branham and seeing him so close and knowing that he's got the same fire that Paul had. Something had happened. And so Brother Branham came along and said, he basically said there was a wall between the seven church ages, and before we could go any further, something would have to bust a hole through that wall, make a breach. And he called it the breach between the seven church ages and the seven seals. And that's exactly where John was carried to. He was brought right to here, right where there was a need for something to happen to make it to where this church that had fell dead and didn't know nothing, that they would have to be resurrected with a message and then turned around and something done to them to make them able to come behind that holy veil into the very Shekinah presence of God. Now, if you're talking about a bride of Jesus Christ, and this is Christ back here, when she's married to him, it'd take a wedding to put her back here. It'd take a wedding to make her one. You realize there's a light that's outside in the outer court,
right.
But when you got into the holy place, it was a different light.
Right.
But it was still a light that had to be taken care of by man. The bread had to be changed. The oil had to be put in the lamps. Man, even though it was gold, even though God was in it, man still had to work it and be obedient to it. But when you leave that and you come behind the holiest of holies, it didn't require a man to do anything for there to be light. It was the Shekinah glory of God. It didn't require man to do something to have the bread to last, because that bread would get old, they had to change it.
Yeah.
But behind the veil, in the presence of God, the manna didn't even get old in the presence of God in the ark.
Yeah.
It was behind the veil where Aaron had his rod, his stick, Cain or whatever it is, judgment rod. They all had their odds. They all had a big dispute. And God said, well, I'll show who's going to be who my ministry is. And they all put their sticks there. And the true ministry, all these preachers want to have their way, but the true ministry, when you stuck them behind the veil, there was only one that brought forth. In one night's time, it blossomed and brought forth buds and produced almonds. Prior to that, did they know what that cane, what that stick was? Did they know what kind of wood it was? Probably not. I don't know. Maybe they did, but just go with me. But when it came into the presence of God, became very clear what it was, because it, life come forth and you could see that it was
Right?
So I'm showing you the difference between church ages and what's available for us under the opening of the seals.
Right.
So, in order for us to come all the way through here, the scripture said he's made us kings and priests. Mm-hmm. We're a priesthood. And you have to realize that out of all the churches, there is an elect group of people, the bride. And when she becomes one with Christ, she, as a priesthood, she's becoming one with him, and he is the high priest. So she gets to come behind the veil too. You see what I'm saying? Because she's him. She is him. And that's what happened with the opening of the seven seals. But before that could happen, there had to be a breach. And that was the Lamb coming forth, taking the book, opening it, and making it to where we can look on that book and see those things that God had on that book for us. Amen. So behind the veil is the Shekinah glory. Behind the veil is where dead sticks live. Amen. And you know, in the Bible, humanity is wood. If you want to live, get behind the veil.
Amen.
And you'll live. Amen. May the Lord bless you. I know that's a lot to take in, but it's a is a wonderful message.
Yeah.
Just get into sync with what God's doing, and it will change you. It will. Sin will fall off of you as you feed on this.
Right.
You won't have to get, because remember, out there, you have to work, even though it was God. But when you start coming back here, you're going to have a light of God in your life that's there.
Mm-hmm.
It's constant. It doesn't change.
Right.
And this is the kind of revelation that God wants us to have. We'll let our musician come. We'll just pray just for a moment before we sing. We'll have a key of D. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your blessings upon us. God, that you have so wonderfully given a message in this day to touch our lives. Lord, it is a mystery. But Lord, you promised that you would reveal it to your bride. You would reveal it, everything to us, Lord, that we need. And so, God, you're proving that you're doing that. Here you are, the faithful witness, the amen, all the things that you promised, that's what you are. So we thank you, Lord Jesus. We just ask, God, that you would commit these things to every heart, that they would remember it. Lord, that you would quicken it. I can say it as many ways as I could probably come up with, but Lord, it just one word from you in the hearts of your people, that these things that you've done in our day will lodge in there, and they'll never be worn again. So we thank you, Lord, for your blessings. We put this time in your hands and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So maybe I could encourage you tonight that if you don't have a church age book and you've never read it, that you should do that. It's been grammarized, so it's easier to read. It's not all the stutters and all that. And I've said this before, but years and years ago, I thought, you know, I'm going to take this church age book and I'm going to search history and see how accurate it is. And everything that I found agreed. Until at some point I said, well, there's no sense in doing any more history search because it's right there. If anybody would just be honest and would look at these things, it'll prove itself. But most people don't want to. They're all wrapped up in their own things. But let me encourage you that as John needed to turn around and look back and see that, if you can look back and read that church age book and see what God has done, it'll make you ready for what's behind the veil. It'll get you ready for that come up hither. John, after he looked and saw those seven ages, Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, the doors opened in heaven and he heard a voice that said, come up hither. And this is what Brother Branham said. John, I'm done down there on earth. Come up here so you can see what I'm going to do, what I'm doing. And it was up here where the Lamb opened the seals. It was up here where we saw those things. So that's why I keep saying that you got to come past that. You got to come out of those church ages. Come through that breach that's been busted wide open for us and come behind the veil where you can see. And when you do that, you're no longer earthbound. That's why Brother Graham said the rapture happens right there in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. Because when you're raptured in Revelation, you come up and you're seeing these things unfold. You've already got rapture in you, and your body will catch up later. And it's a revelation. That's why I kept saying it here recently on Sunday and so forth. It's a revelation to the bride that she's looking for. So I ask you, what are you looking for? What are you spending time doing? What are you thinking on? Get the church age book. Read it. Some of you I know could read it in 2 or 3 days before. Comprehended. Now, it may take forever, but I know, read it. Go back and read it again. We read it in Bible study here. Gathered around the front. It was good. And so do that. It will help you. Amen. And then the Lord will take you on in higher revelations. May the Lord bless you. I hope that you've had some feeding tonight. Amen. Let's just sing this again and then you can be